Hare Krishna. I'd like to speak a little about Jamuna Devi Dasi today, but before I do, let me give all of our listeners and supporters an update on what's happening on the campaign for the Hungarian new law change, or at least our campaign reacting to the new Hungarian church law. Things moving very fast and a lot of things taking place, so it's almost like a moment to moment existence. We're having to react, comment on, and make strategies. As you know, last Tuesday we had our demonstration outside of Parliament, and the purpose of that demonstration was to communicate to the government and to the public at large as our witness, just in case it didn't register again with the government, that in writing the church law, amongst other things, there was an oversight, and that oversight was that they didn't recognize that churches who lose their church status will not be able to keep agricultural land, which affected mostly us, at least in terms of quantity of land, and but it also affected another 10 churches as well. That worked, and at the last moment we decided not to hand over our petition until we actually see what direction things take. Of course, that is not our main issue. That's really a side issue that comes as a result of the government's meddling with our church status, as well as that of 300 other churches in Hungary. So our main focus is to ensure that either we don't lose our church status as of January 1st, or thereafter we get it back. And as much as the government did take note of our land problem and proposed the law, which was supposed to have been voted into law on Monday, that didn't yet happen. It will have to happen, if it happens, by the Friday, by the 23rd, because it's sort of connected to the budget, and it has to pass before the end of the year. However, there are other things in the making. The Constitutional Court of Hungary was also considering the actual church law itself. They had been appealed to by a certain party, and not the substance of the law, the constitutionality of discriminating against different religious organizations, but the way that the law was passed, which was that actually it was an amendment that became the law, and there was no discussion that took place on that amendment. So the decision on that came out on Monday, and interestingly enough, the Constitution Court struck down the law, which sounds good, and would be a proper message to most governments, but this is not like most governments over here in Hungary. So their reaction is that they are passing today a carbon copy version of that original law, but this time they're making sure that all the technicalities are correct. And that's the update. One opportunity that the government now has is that since they've had to reformulate the law and they've had to tighten it up in certain areas, they can actually extend the size of the list of the authorized so-called churches and include the Krishna consciousness movement in there as well as some others. And there's some talk of that happening. Whether it does or not, we'll see. But in any case, that's something else for another update. If that doesn't happen, this proposal will probably come out today, or if not today, tomorrow. And then they'll also have to vote that into law, because it's meant to come into effect January 1st by the end of the year. So Parliament is going to be sitting, having sessions in between the Christmas and New Year festivities. And that's the update on that. Thank everyone for their support, for signing the petition, and many other devotees, particularly in London, Washington, and New Delhi, who were helping with more direct communication with the Hungarian government through political and diplomatic channels. Yesterday I went to visit the ambassador, and he had requested a set of Srimad Bhagavatams, so we delivered a set of Bhagavatams to him. And from there I went to visit some family, sort of pre-Christmas family get-together, who were, he said, my elder cousin, another cousin, not my Robert, but they live here in Hungary, and he was in charge of radio, television in Hungary. Anyway, he gave me some rundown on his vision of what the political spectrum is, quite bleak. In any case, while I was there, then I looked at my telephone to see if there was any further update from Parliament, and I saw this message that spoke about Jamuna Devi Dasi's passing. And therefore I wanted to say a few words about her. I think if the devotees haven't met her, everyone knows of her. From the fact that every morning we're associating with her as she's singing Govinda Mali Purusham during a deity greeting. Any biography, whether it be Your Ever Well Wisher or other biographies, she's inevitably plays a role as one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, one of the Grihastha couples who came to England and inaugurated the preaching here, who served in India. And I didn't get to meet her until around 1985, I think, 86, something like that, when she and Mother Dina Tarani came to the UK, and they stayed in England for, I don't know, a year, maybe longer, I can't remember. And at that time, Jamuna Devi was already writing her magnum opus cookbook. And I had the opportunity then to hear her give class, hear her lead kirtan, speak to her some, and particularly taste her cooking, of which I'll speak the last, because I think it was the best. For me, Jamuna Devi, she was one of those devotees that as soon as you meet them, you knew that this was not the first life that they were practicing Krishna consciousness, and had a natural affinity, not only for Krishna consciousness, but a natural connection with Srila Prabhupada. One thing was to be one of the first devotees, but it just seemed that she was like Srila Prabhupada's daughter. And of course, that I'm not speaking of from first-hand experience, but from what I'd read. But the impression that she gave as a special person, that was my first-hand experience. How she spoke and she talked, and especially she had such a lovely smile. She was very warm, caring person, beautiful person. I remember once either we were talking or it was a class that she gave at Chaitanya College. I remember it well, and it may have been Prabhupada's appearance, some type of festival like that. And she was talking about her days with Srila Prabhupada at Radha Damodar Temple. And she made mention how Srila Prabhupada said that he eternally lives at Radha Damodar, and that Radha Damodar Temple was the hub of the wheel of the universe. There are many things that she spoke of her experiences with serving Srila Prabhupada, traveling with him, cooking. She was one of the persons that Srila Prabhupada taught to cook, so I would speak about her cooking. She was very, very, her cooking for me sort of spelled out her personality, and I can't complain that I haven't eaten well in this life, or that I've tasted good cooking. And I don't want to just sort of emphasize her cooking by saying that it was the best, because in terms of taste, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but it was certainly the cooking that put the left its greatest mark on me, let's put it that way, impressed me the most. And I'll just, there were different events when I remember we used to have lunches at that time when Bhagwan Das was the GBC of UK and she would cook. But one particular meal I remember when I asked her to cook for the Sankirtan devotees, at that time we still had what was called Aldenham House. And so she did. In fact, I think she may have been the one to ask to do it. And she did. And the interesting thing was that she began cooking the day before. She just cooked breakfast. It wasn't something big, some kind of big Whopper feast with many preparations. It was light. It was very, very nice. Very, very tasty. And what was very, very extraordinary for me was its appearance. I've never been to a cordon bleu, six-star, real gourmet restaurant, but I imagine that's how they prepare very, very meticulously, very nice-looking preparation. Everything nicely set, and of course she served as well. It was just a real experience. Everything looked beautiful, it tasted beautiful, it was served beautiful. For me, that reflected who she was, and as I'm talking about her cooking, I think I'm talking about her. It was a real experience that I remember, and it happened 25 years ago. And I remember good cooking experiences, but this one I especially remember. And for me, that was a way of understanding who she was. I'd say that she presented that meal, and her cooking was with surgical precision. I won't even say artists, because artists tend to be messy sometimes, but she had, it was surgical precision, it was beautiful, it was wonderful, and it tasted good because her consciousness, her Krishna consciousness was in it. She took it as her dharma, as her religion. And probably of all the experiences, and there weren't that many, others knew her more, spent more time with her and so on. But that was the one that will always stick in my mind, and I think I will always remember Jumuna Devi Dasi based on that one breakfast at Aldenham House. Hare Krishna, Jumuna Devi Dasi ki jai.